The readings today are from Ecclesiastes. The first is chapter 2, 17 to 26, and the second is chapter 4, 4 to 8. So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labour under the sun. For a person may labour with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labour under the sun? All their days their work is grief and pain. Even at night their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God, for without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Second reading. And I saw that all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling? He asked. And why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business.
Thank you, Emily, and thank you, Duncan. I guess this is a case where too many cooks don't spoil the broth. So. Friends, it's good to see you all this morning, and I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open in those passages in the book of Ecclesiastes as we consider them together now. Friends, I'm sure that all of us have experienced times in our lives when our daily work has been exciting and inspiring and full of joy and delight and pleasure. Times when we just could not wait for the work week to begin, and we were disappointed when we had to go home on Friday afternoon. Times when our employment conditions could not have been better, and everything was harmonious in the workplace. When the shifts just seemed to fly by so quickly, and we were sad when we had to stop and take a holiday. Or maybe not. Working for a boss, it can be oppressive, wearisome, boring. Running your own business can be exhausting, frustrating, stressful. It's why we talk about the rat race, about the hamster wheel, about the daily grind. Do you know many of us devote more than half of our waking hours to our occupation and our employment? What did that well-known philosopher, Dolly Parton, say? Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taken and no given. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. Don't we get tired of going back day after day and month after month and decade after decade? We suffer Monday-itis, we struggle our way through hump day and we hang out for the weekend. Sometimes work just feels so worthless, so wearisome, and we can wonder what really is the point of it all. Well, my friends, if that's you, then be assured that Solomon can relate to your feelings. Because in the passages that Emily has just read for us, it seems, I think, fairly obvious that he wasn't particularly happy about his daily tasks either. In fact, he says some incredibly negative things about work and labor and toil. Ecclesiastes 2 verse 17, "So I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me." Verse 18, "I hated all the things I'd toiled for." Verse 20, "So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor." Well, verses 22 and 23, "What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain, and even at night, their minds do not rest." And also chapter 4, verse 8, "There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment?" It may seem a little odd because Solomon's actual job title was King of Israel. You wouldn't think that he had to work too hard. No physical labor or menial tasks for him. He had thousands at his beck and call. Surely Solomon had it pretty good. So why so negative about work? Well, I think Solomon is speaking not only on his own behalf, but he's also putting himself in the shoes of the average Joe, or in his case, the average Joseph. In the verses just quoted, he doesn't only talk about his own work, but the population in general. Back in chapter 1, verse 3, he already asked then, "What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun?" But you know, I also think that Solomon was working pretty hard in his own right. Don't forget that in his desperate search for meaning, he had been vigorously pursuing wealth and possessions and developments. Earlier in chapter 2, he said this, "I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me." Solomon was not the kind of king who just attended a few functions and cut a few ribbons. Solomon was a serious and dedicated project manager, and he was working incredibly hard to increase and to improve his kingdom, and he did so very successfully. But yet, in the end, he found his toil grievous and painful and unenjoyable. It caused him despair, anxiety, and discontent. And as a result, he says he even came to hate life itself. But why? Why is Solomon so miserable about work and toil? Well, the overall reason is because of the attitude he had taken toward his labor, because of the underlying motivation that he had to work so hard. And I think this can best be summarized by saying that Solomon was ultimately working for the sake of accumulation. Solomon was toiling in order to gather as many possessions and as much wealth as he possibly could, far more than he would ever need. And thus, chapter 2, verse 26, he speaks of the task of gathering and storing up wealth. And chapter 4, verse 4 says, all toil and all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. And verse 8, a man's eyes were not content with his wealth. However, the biggest indicator of his desire for unnecessary accumulation is in his incredibly strong lament that he's working so hard to store up riches, but yet he knows that in the end he's going to die and it's all going to get left to someone else, someone who didn't work for it, someone who may not need it, may not even appreciate it, may not even look after it. Chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, he says, I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. And verse 21, for a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. And verse 26 speaks of the task of gathering and storing up wealth just to hand it over. Solomon, in his quest for meaning, was working his guts out to amass a fortune, to amass riches and properties and assets of every kind, and he wasn't even sure why. But we can do the same, can't we? And so it's good for us to pause and to ask ourselves, what am I really working for? Doesn't matter what the nature of your labor is. Doesn't matter if you're working for a boss or running your own business or if it's just that extra project on the side that you're using to make more money. Ask yourself, what am I truly working for? And maybe we have to admit that, like Solomon, our focus is actually on accumulation, gathering as much wealth and indulgence as we can, collecting far more riches than we're ever going to need. Is your primary motivation to afford a better car or a bigger house, to have longer and more extravagant holidays, to have more toys, to extend your property portfolio, to increase your savings and your superannuation? Is your primary motivation to be as well off and as affluent as you possibly can be? If that's what drives you, then that motivation is going to seriously affect your life, isn't it? It's what causes people to become obsessed with their career or their company. It's what triggers becoming a workaholic or an overachiever. And it's what leads people to neglect the more important things in life, to neglect their spouse, to neglect their children and their family, to neglect their own health and well-being, to neglect their relationship with the Lord and His church and His call on their life. I wonder if you recognize any of these warning signs in yourself. Do you see that you're actually pushing life aside in order to focus on your career or your business? When you're not at work, are you still preoccupied with it so that you're of no benefit to anyone else? Do you live to work instead of working to live? Are you in that trap of toiling for unnecessary and unquenchable accumulation? Well, Solomon did. And in the end, he was bitterly disappointed. He slogged away and he hoarded more than anyone. And it left him feeling absolutely empty. Did you hear the chorus that he recites over and over again? Ecclesiastes 2 verse 17, all of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Verse 19, this too is meaningless. Verse 21, meaningless and a great misfortune. And again in verse 23, and again in verse 25, and then over in chapter 4, in verse 4, and then in verse 7, and finally in verse 8 he concludes, this too is meaningless, a miserable business. Do you get the message? Toiling for the accumulation of unnecessary wealth will never provide you joy, pleasure, or purpose in the end. It'll leave you feeling lost, unsatisfied and futile, and you'll come to wonder what really is the point of it all. But what then is the answer to this awful conundrum? We have to work, yet Solomon says it's miserable and meaningless. Maybe we've come to see that for ourselves. Maybe you have realized that in your own life. So is that then the end of the story? Is there no solution? Are we bound like Sisyphus from Greek mythology to be rolling this immense boulder up a hill only for it to roll back down again and thus repeating the same laborious task over and over and over forever? Are work and toil truly meaningless? Well, of course there's an answer. But that answer lies in finding a completely different attitude, a far better attitude toward our daily occupation. It lies in finding a new motivation to work so hard. The solution is not, as some people think, to stop working at all, to sit back and expect others to supply our needs. There's a rather random statement right there in chapter 4, verse 5 that reminds us of this. It says, fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. Clearly, that's not the solution, to passively fold your hands and have a little doze and do nothing at all. Because work isn't evil. No, my friends, work is part of God's good design. It existed before the fall, and it is the very thing we've been created to do. And so the solution isn't to stop working, but rather to work for the right reasons. To work not for the sake of accumulation, but for something else. And the passage points us toward that with a phrase that we have now seen a number of times before, and we actually see it here in this passage more than ever. Because in our reading, no less than six times, Solomon uses the words, under the sun. He repeatedly acknowledges that all his toiling and all his striving is being done under the sun. And that reminds us that he is intentionally doing all of this without reference to God. He is approaching work in the way that the world approaches work. He is investigating it from a purely human perspective. He is acting as though the Lord has nothing to do with his labor. And I wonder if we could sometimes do the same. Is it possible that we could treat our daily work as something we simply do under the sun? Could we approach our employment or our business in exactly the same way as the world around us does, without any reference to God? We worship the Lord on Sunday, but do we leave him behind on Monday? Do we give him no thought? Do we not pray about our work? Do we try to do it all in our own strength? And do we try to do it all for our own needs and our own ends? This is sometimes called practical atheism. Acknowledging God with your lips, but denying him in the reality of your daily life. If that's us, then we should hardly be surprised if it all seems empty and futile and meaningless. Like chasing the wind, a great misfortune and a miserable business. But yet this same phrase also points us to a better way. Looking beyond the sun to the Lord who made us. Maybe you notice that right there in the middle of our readings, chapter 2, verses 24 to 26, there's this little section, and it reveals to us that better way. It's a section where Solomon provides us a glimpse into the solution to this problem. Because in verse 24 he says, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. Not piles of gold, not multiple properties, but eating and drinking. In other words, Solomon now refers to work not for the sake of accumulation, but rather for the sake of provision, supplying the things we need. He says a person can do nothing better than that. He says that'll lead to satisfaction in your toil. But then he adds something more. Listen to verses 24 to 26. He says, "This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness." You may not realize it, but in the first seven verses of chapter 2 before this bit, and then also in the entire section in chapter 4, God isn't mentioned even once. And that, of course, goes hand in hand with living and working under the sun. But then right here in the middle, God is suddenly mentioned three times in a row. And so the answer is not just to work for provision, providing for your needs, but yet still in a worldly way. But it is to do so for the sake of exaltation, to bring glory to the Lord. Because he alone can provide us with satisfaction in our toil and enjoyment in our labor and happiness in our daily tasks. Only the Lord can take away that futility and give us purpose and meaning in our daily work. And this is summed up so well in chapter 4, verse 6. You know, this might be a bit of wisdom that you might want to put up on your fridge, or even better, put it up in your workplace. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 6. "Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind." Don't you see, my friends, when you work with God in the picture, then you realize that it's not all about striving to gain more wealth, but rather it's about working faithfully to gain enough to live without neglecting the things that really matter. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. How can we find meaning in work? By being motivated, not by a desire to acquire, but a desire to provide for what we need and to bring praise and honor to our God. Jesus speaks about this in Luke chapter 12. He says, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And then he goes on and he tells that parable of a rich man who had such a huge harvest that he didn't know what to do with it. And so he decided that he was going to tear down his barns and he was going to build bigger ones. And then he would take life easy. But that very night, God told him his life would end. And who then would get what he had prepared for himself? Echoing back to Ecclesiastes. And Jesus concluded, "This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." Friends, we know we're sinful people, deserving of God's wrath and judgment, but yet at the very same time we know God's mercy upon us, that he gave his own son to suffer and to die in our place, to provide us access to his eternal glory if we put our faith in him. But if that's so, then won't the focus of our lives be utterly transformed? We will no longer focus on the accumulation of earthly wealth, as though this life is all there is and as though that even matters in the end. But no, our focus will be on heavenly riches, which are so much greater by far. And so we'll still work, but we'll work for the reasons God has provided. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul says this, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we did not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." God calls us to work, to supply our own needs. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul adds this, Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. God also calls us to work to supply our own family's needs. And then there's also Ephesians chapter 5. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. God further calls us to work to supply the needs of others. Never a hint of stockpiling, but always provision for ourselves, our families, and those less fortunate. But even behind all that is a deeper reason. Listen also to Colossians chapter 3. Paul says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul says, "As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." Friends, this morning we're challenged to ask ourselves, what are we really working for? Ecclesiastes reminds us that the world's way is to work for the endless accumulation of wealth. And Solomon tried that out as only he could, and he succeeded, but yet discovered that it was empty and futile. He concluded it's all meaningless, a miserable business. But what about you and me? Is it all about the money, honey? Is that what drives you to choose which job you will do, to take those extra shifts, to put in those long hours, to the neglect of your own well-being as well as your family and your church and your God? Or have we found a higher purpose? For aren't we God's people, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? Has he not redeemed us from sin, but also redeemed us from that empty way of life handed down to us? 1 Peter chapter 1. He calls us to work, not for unnecessary riches, but to work for him, trusting that he will supply. He calls us to work to provide for our own needs and for others, and in order to make this world a better place, and to bear witness to his saving grace. He calls us to work for his exaltation, for his honor and his praise and his glory. Only by doing that, only by shifting our attitude and our motivation, can we escape the drudgery and the misery and the futility. Because it is the Lord who gives us the work that we do, and it is the Lord who gives us the ability to enjoy it. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God, for without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we want to thank you this morning for the wisdom of your word, a wisdom that goes so much further than any in this world, wisdom that could only come from you, that helps us to see the reality of life in a way that we would never see on our own. And Father, we want to thank you this morning for alerting us again to the futility of the world's ways, where people work so hard to gain riches that are going to be useless in the end. Father, please transform our attitudes and our motivations, whatever our daily tasks may be. Help us to work for you and for you alone. Help us to work to provide for our own needs and not to concern ourselves with unnecessary wealth. Help us to trust you to give us enough every day again. Father, help us to supply the needs of others and to use our occupation to make this world a better place, and ultimately to use our occupation to bring glory and honour to your name. Father, we pray, please work in us so that we might truly live not as the world does, but as redeemed people, seeking to be rich toward you and storing up treasures in heaven. And as we do, may we truly escape the drudgery and the futility and instead find all our satisfaction and enjoyment in our toil because of you. May we truly find our meaning as we serve you in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, we're going to stand and we're going to sing together.